Welcome to the Our Voices Oral Histories podcast, coordinated by the Common Room and presented by Dr. Andy Clark, Research Associate with the Newcastle Oral History Collective. In this episode, we talk to John McCabe about his experience working in the mining industry in the Northeast. The episode starts by asking how he became involved in the mining industry, including his family's migration from Ireland to the Northeast.
I've been involved in mining since I was a younger man, and my family history is in the coal mines and the mining industry of the Northeast. Originally, my great-grandfather, who was Irish, and my great-grandfather, who were Irish, came to England from Cavan, County Cavan in Ireland, in the late 1880s to Sigham Harbour, and worked for the local magnate who owned all the mines, and that was Lord Londonderry. And obviously, from Sigham Harbour, my great-grandfather was one of 22 sons. And we've sort of spread out all over the Northeast coalfield. In 1900, my grandfather was born in Hebburn Colliery, which is where I reside now. I've lived in Hebburn most of my life. In 1900, my grandfather was born. He eventually started to work in Hebburn Colliery, where his father worked, my great-grandfather. So I've got a history in the mines.
And my father was an
electrical engineer.
You won't believe me.
And he worked for...
It's my job to believe
him. One of them was Metropolitan.
Okay, my story, trying to tell my story briefly.
Mainly at that particular time.
I had a big brother who knew friction was always going to be involved in an engineering capacity.
All over the kingdom.
It was a given. Oh. I mean, I was brought up in a pit village in North Tyneside.
Right.
And, so when I went to school, all the boys went to work at Parsons, or went to Vickers Armstrong, or they went down the pit, or they went to the shipyard. All the girls got married, got pregnant, and had
babies. What do you remember? Your first
That's
experience
the way it was. Yeah. We're going back to the 70s now. I was always going to get married and have babies. And I think I was about 13 or 14 when I went to my career's advice. And I'll never forget it. I walked into the room and the gentleman sitting behind the desk put his paper down, looked at me and said, what do you want to do?
And I said, I don't know.
And he looked me up and down.
I wasn't really concerned.
You're reasonably attractive, so I wouldn't worry because somebody will marry you.
Took some more tickets.
So that was my career's advice in 1978 or whatever it was. So I came out of high school thinking, oh, somebody will marry me. So I just made it my mission to get married. But in the background, my brother had started an apprenticeship in Mrs. Armstrong. And being a boy, he was lazy. So he used to pay me £1 a week to do his homework. So I self-taught in HNC and HND and mechanical engineering by the time I was 15, because I wanted my £1 a week.
Just quite important roles in a way.
So that's how I learned engineering. But it still didn't occur to me to do the job, because this was
to perform, you know,
just at that time girls didn't do that.
Yeah. Grown.
So I was going to get married and have
never
babies.
Never forget yourself. Remember, man,
so,
I think where it started.
You can be. I got a job. Well,
like a friend of mine, Paul Younger. I don't know if you've ever bumped into
as a receptionist. But I was really interested in the trucks, and I started asking the lads to show me things. And to cut a very long story short, 6 months later, I was the first woman in the country to be a service manager on a Scania truck.
Always came to the level of somebody who never superimposed himself on anybody.
Did all the courses, did all the training, joined the TA, and trained as a recovery
I think we can forget some things, especially if when you had a university background.
I was always, you know, messing around with motorbikes. I understood engines.
Having a 2-1 or a first
class. So I started in the heavy goods industry.
It's about other things as well.
In charge of a garage.
No, absolutely. So what did you do after
from
you
there,
were involved in the menial tasks?
There,
what was your
I
next
went
job
to work
after
in
that?
A power station at Blythe, which no longer exists.
There's a very, very strong colliery owner.
From there,
Jimmy Telford.
When Blythe Power Station closed, I went to work.
History.
a pipeline inspection. And he was in charge of the salvage and installation. Again, I went in at administrator level, but worked my way up to the different commercial operations specialist, which involved going to customer sites and
salvaging,
assessing pipelines for inspection, and then putting together the scope of work and specifications.
Just anything arduous or difficult.
After that, a few years there, traveled the world. In a sales then I went to another big company to design umbilical pipelines
for the
offshore oil and gas industry.
And I worked for Jimmy Telfer on the salvage
installation. An umbilical pipeline is all about how you control valves on the sea.
And then, of course, we had the minor strike in 45.
And then from there, I came to Siemens, started in the project management office.
I was still at college, going to college at the time as well.
So I've had a bit of a jump around, but I am 55,
came back from
bit of variety, but what you find is hydraulic systems, mechanical systems, you know, the same terminology repeats all of those places, and pushing fluids through a pipe,
ribs and ankles,
whether you're doing it in the context of pipeline inspection or whether you're doing it in the context of
a
brake system on a car or whatever it is, pushing fluid through a pipe is pushing fluid through a pipe. So you can transfer those things that you've learned into different job roles. So as I said, I need to know a little bit about everything.
Two and a half years. And it was a very, very responsible job.
He did, yes.
Right. Where, you know, you had to get materials at the right price,
thanks
in the right quantity, and have them delivered on site, you know, at the coal face.
Do you remember how you felt
at the right time? So it was, it was quite an exhausting job and quite a difficult job to manage because you're dealing with.
Well, I just supported what my parents
managers,
and other relatives
manager,
and everybody else was doing at that time. I mean, that was at the time, that was
time.
What girls did. You were going
to
be a secretary
budget,
or you were going to be a nurse.
I did that.
So if you were really clever, you might
and
be a nursery
the manager
school teacher.
At the time was a fellow called Tom Watson, another
never in a million years
character,
was it,
absolute legend.
Suggested that I would be
tremendous
an engineer.
Guy, still alive.
And it was just, I wanted to thrash around on motorbikes, and I wanted to, you know, unfortunately
he instructed
me,
don't ever disobey the manager.
I wasn't prevented from doing those things, but it was purely
hobby.
For this
new roof bolt, and you need to go on a course.
But it was purely
so
my interest in that that sort of got me into working.
While,
to the level that I did in the truck garage, I couldn't possibly have achieved that if I hadn't ripped engines to bits and put them back together myself
in
that
field,
my private life.
After the coffee conversation,
I was the
back and asked for
roof bolt engineer at Westo, as we call them. There's other posh names for them, but that's what we call them, roof bolt engineers.
I was just interested,
of course,
and
1991 was
the management that were there at the time recognised
decision by the Conservative government to close a number of mines,
and I had long thin fingers so I could help them get the business.
So I ended up going across to neighbouring colliery, which had a great
days,
future,
you know, that's
and wasn't on the hit list, which was
but,
we almost colliery.
I was just interested. I kept asking,
and I went
can
across,
I
first of all, as a safety officer
this,
and safety engineer.
Well, yeah, we'll put you on a course.
And I finished my career there,
and I would just read the manuals.
September 94.
You know,
the colliery actually closed
sort of
on December 7th, 1993.
For Christmas, so if
but obviously we had the
what,
five.
You know, I mean,
to,
it could be anything
to,
from
maintain
a,
and,
got a charge,
you know, a number of other things. And obviously the closure of the colliery
or a white switch or a complicated
thing,
you know.
So I stayed on
would, it could be
September.
That, or it could be my truck was blown over in the wind,
and
I
made provisions
cab,
for myself.
It's going to be £25,000.
I didn't want to work away,
so it could be anything in between.
But at the time, I
just remember one significant thing.
Bought a taxi company, a local taxi company.
The local bus company at the time had about 23 Scania buses. 11-meter 3-series buses, and I remember
that
the gearboxes had input shafts on them,
about 2010.
Which used to melt, and we were like,
so, I mean, if
we
go back,
why they were melting, and the gearboxes were seasonal.
What you talked about when you
and
were
we discovered it was because
in the salvage and installation, then you said that then kind of led the 845 strike.
And was it fault?
What's your memories of
there
that?
There was an override button that the driver could press, which was supposed to give him enough time to get back to the garage and take the bus off the road. But the drivers were just pressing
it, and running
the bus all bloody week.
1984, we went on strike.
So you had 23 buses.
It was a Friday anyway.
Shafts, and we had to change
and
the
best
gear
friend, still
the
best friend. We call them Maras.
We weren't going to replace him with another Stanley gearbox because it would just happen again. Mm. So we did a Voith retrofit on all of them. And it
you know,
was
I'm getting married in June. Do you think I should still go ahead? Why? I said, we'll only be out for five or 6 weeks.
I kind of proved myself as a project leader.
I got married
on
the 9th of June, 1984. The 9th of June, of course, is Ian Races. I went to Leighton Races.
Just thinking out the box and using a bit of common sense and being prepared to take a few risks.
My wife was working in a massive electric company in heaven called Rayroll.
So just ended up getting
employed something like 16,000 people.
Never ever earned as much as my
massive electrical engineering company.
Women didn't. Didn't have a female uniform for me, so I had to wear a man's shirt and men's trousers. Seriously,
she was working in the offices there. So she was
wasn't bothered. But I think girls and women now get a lot more mess about those things than we did back in the day. Back in the day, you just wore men's clothes and didn't care. But
on Christmas Eve, 1984,
I just sort of proved myself.
Mother-in-law's door
got on,
and
that was it.
It was a French trade unionist.
Think about it.
And I said,
It was, purely driven by I'm interested in
this,
you know,
from the French trade unionist. Thank you very much.
What was
And I was
difficult.
For,
I mean, at first,
receiving this chicken.
It was difficult because I was managing, the garage. I was sort of like having
and
to ask
was a man.
You
got a chicken for you.
Do something.
This is a chicken.
Now, you start off with them. Asking politely.
He says it's from the deputy's union.
So then you would go and like. You'd be nasty.
And his chicken weighed 4 pounds.
It.
I said, just a minute. And I got the chicken out of my mother-in-law's kitchen
attitude,
fridge.
But you find
the French trade union
most of them.
Chicken was 4 pounds, 4 ounces.
It was just all show, you know what I mean? It was
they must
just all
previously,
a face.
The deputies
and
had started
to
have been
there was actually
being the straight rules and not going in and examining.
And as long as I was prepared to equally
had been
go and have 25 years
away, so the union leaders, and they were now inspecting and doing that, performing the roles in the mines.
They were okay with me, do you know what I mean?
I said, look at
some
you can keep your chicken, your scummy
mustard. Some men would see you as a threat.
French trade unionists
and you would get it pointed out to you that you were a woman. I mean, I have had bus drivers and lorry drivers come into the service reception area and say, can I talk to one of the blokes?
Quite horrendous because
well,
I didn't have anything
can,
to give to my wife. I didn't have
anything
at all.
You talk to me.
my family actually saw me through the strike and paid for me mortgage on my house, which we'd bought.
Once you'd earned it, you got it, and that was that.
Things turned out quite well.
Whereas now, you are automatically treated as an equal.
I remember that.
So there is a difference. We have moved on. Things have changed.
I didn't
for the
take
better.
Part in any of the
How was your experience
picketing
as a female engineer?
I didn't take any part in going on buses and
funnily enough,
going
I
to places where there was potential
Diana
trouble,
for a lot,
although I did support
you might laugh
I
at that, but before Lady Diana, you had to wear court shoes and a pencil skirt,
and picketing or doing anything
else. Them for work.
I mean,
if you were
during
woman,
the time of the strike,
you
what,
wear trousers,
what
you
was your
allowed.
Belief of what you were fighting
you
for? What was your reason for being on strike?
Would just, make remarks at you. What you
Scandal
were, you
was
know,
never my favourite flat shoes for.
Lady Diana,
lodge meeting, Westall lodge meeting, the NUM against
him.
I'm not afraid to speak, and I spoke out against his ethos because he was using that for a different philosophy.
And she wore trousers.
I think he utilised them. The
between Lady Diana and Margaret Thatcher,
you know,
these are role models who enabled women to wear
and
proper
while
clothes.
While I'm a Labour Party member,
so
and I'm sort of like centre-left, if you like.
I think that had a big
I'm
impact
not,
on
not a
female
rabbit.
In the workplace.
He was using the miners in the wrong
things,
way.
They were doing
mines always close. You and
so
I can open a brand new mine and come here tomorrow.
You might agree or
for
disagree.
For whatever geological
what
reasons or whatever, you know.
People hate it, you know.
The business takes a downturn, the pandemic takes whatever.
Like it or
you know,
it.
A colony by its nature, as soon as you open a coal mine,
who
it's going to be closed.
And also
so some of the coal mines actually
absolutely
needed closing.
Fantastic, read all of our
but
books.
There was a future for the coal mine industry.
And this is where ideas, which is how bit
I don't
mad.
Like saying her name, but this is where Mrs. Thatcher had it wrong.
A lot of them make a lot
because she had the and, antithesis.
So I think, you know, I'm lucky
view and opinion
brought up
of Scarlet.
Where
she had two Roberts,
really extreme,
and in between,
sort of like extraordinary women,
was the main and
have got into the media and
being used by one
consciously
state
have influenced
and abused by the other.
Yeah.
So when I started,
really, it's not the problem until you resolve the problem.
So,
and
you know,
all that needed was some better communication and better understanding
so
of where each side was coming from.
When I started,
and reach a compromise.
Woman,
you've got to reach compromises in life.
Shoes,
if you don't reach compromises,
know,
you have conflict.
The men did
that. That's the way that I saw the strike.
Well,
it was really, really difficult
I mean,
for
a girl was
going to
be
people.
An engineer.
And some of the people who went back to work,
you know, what's
obviously
wrong with that?
Some of them were greedy,
you know,
some of them were selfish.
Thing, but,
some of them,
I can remember taking
we had
a
guy
had a Suzuki
at,
Katana
Western Curry,
motorbike,
and nobody ever spoke about it.
And I can remember taking it
the
for
guy,
a CMT
and I'm not being detrimental
and a man in the garage saying
his IQ was quite low, and he crossed the picket line and nobody abused him.
You know,
he just went back because his mum told him to go back. This guy was
get into discussions with people like that.
Mum said I had
to
go back to work.
To, but, but
it was
I
an
remember
awful
it.
Time for some people. You know, families.
You know, so I've had a lot of things said
you know,
to me
divorces
over the years
and, you know,
that were
hardship for young people
that were unacceptable.
For the
but I only
young children
to
as well.
That I respect.
An awful time, but it's
so
history now.
I'm not going to get into
no,
all these people that I have no respect
what,
for.
What was heaven
so
like
that's your opinion,
in that kind of period between 84 and 85? No,
right,
I call the radio. What impact did it have on the
but,
town?
Very, very
yeah,
little,
the,
because
now,
by that time, majority
say,
of
the
people in the heaven area were involved in the coal mining
very
industry.
Much tret as
right.
equal and respected.
Well, predominantly
respected.
Involved in
the man-woman thing.
Electrical engineering
now,
at railroad or the shipyards with Palmers and Leslie's.
Classes, sexist or whatever, made to me in.
You know, and there was a lot of
worked,
heaven
yeah.
was built in an industry. There,
but yeah,
there was a number of smaller firms like Baker Perkins, which made Baker Light.
You just
employed several hundred people and. Tharsis engineer, and you know, it was
well,
a hive, it still is in some respects.
But I think
but
what's
engineer.
Changed is that back in my day, if I had said to my parents I want to be an engineer, I would have been laughed
although there was
at.
A number of us.
I think today, if a girl says
you know,
I want to be an
in
engineer,
in an average street you may get one man out of maybe 100
yeah.
people.
And that's the difference.
So,
I think we've come a long
really,
way.
It didn't really concern the majority of people.
As a state ambassador,
like school. When you went back
obviously,
after it was finished, because
yeah,
you see the pictures and Billy Elliot and stuff, with the bands playing as they go back. Was that what it was like for you?
Well, we actually marched behind the.
I think a lot of them think it's a dirty
in.
Job, and they don't.
We got there,
want to get their hands dirty. I think a lot
of one
of
the union guys went up and went.
Think it's maths.
We are not going back until we get the sack miners back. Ian Gray, my best friend, was a sack miner.
So I have to put them right on those two things.
So we then promptly marched out of the colony guard and went.
Sadly,
to the welfare club.
Are persuaded by the media.
The union
the
gave her a few beers, and
still
that was
to marry a football player.
The first
and
working
for years,
day, we didn't go back on the
sent
first
STEM
day,
ambassadors
we
in
the
to talk to teenage
was,
girls, and for years
you talked about
you know,
divorces, families divided.
Because by the time
they
get the teenage,
how long did that kind of ripple out
options,
after
you know whatever?
You went back
it's,
to work in 85.
You need to go in and talk to
quickly,
younger children.
Pittman
so
and
Maynard
have got a very, very
right.
strong
I had a group of students here from
and,
Nottingham University
you know,
recently, all females, all studying
from other industries and sometimes
and I sat them in a room
like the leafy
some
suburbs
of
Sussex or Surrey or somewhere like that. They look upon Maynard as being
on the screen,
rather silly or stupid or foolish or ignorant.
Engineers and said, right,
they're very, very resilient
let's
people
go through that
and very, very clever in their own way.
What's stopping you from applying for that? You know,
overcoming
and
problems. And
what came out of that?
They have this kind of mentality, very strong mentality.
The males,
you know,
will look at it.
The roof fell
say,
down.
You have
oh,
to
well,
have an HNC in
again,
mechanical
you know?
Engineering.
And that was the
they
same with
it,
the,
well,
the strike. Quick, very quickly.
But I'll apply for it anyway.
They came, became
because
orientated
they have a
that.
Level of expectation.
Well, work,
mm-hmm.
And let's focus on what's really important. And that's what happens.
And a sense of entitlement. I am entitled
you
to that
about
job. That is my
that,
job.
An
that job has got
1986.
My name.
Yeah.
I don't care if I haven't got all
what
the skills.
There?
I'll apply for it anyway. It's got my name.
I was, it was a weekend
salary.
Shift.
I deserve that salary.
For
that's the way the mail was
And we were busy waiting up the junction like, to bring some.
I haven't got that. Bigger I haven't got that skill.
Supports
so
in, bigger chocks, as we call
And I think it's because of.
And the supply lines were very, very
I think
tardy.
Unconsciously. And the Coley Orman, the right
Billy
reasons,
Elliot says, I think they call them Billy Elliot.
Skills up differently. I think with boys, we kick them out the door into the big wide wheels and go,
Steve,
go on,
get
go
out there and see
get
what the hell is going on
out
there. Get that stuff.
I think with girls,
so I went out,
protect them, right?
And there they were all having that
the world,
bits
and
of snuff.
We,
and, we, hey, you know, come on, get this stuff. So this tramload of girders and these other equipment.
Massive part.
And we had to negotiate underneath.
You're never going to, like,
a very, very low
crossing
point. Boys and girls are
in the main.
That was
so I went underneath.
In terms of thinking about, I mean, even I was surprised to
see,
the
looking back, if those vehicles, which were still moving at 2 miles per hour, would actually get underneath without, you know, an obstruction,
as an engineer,
holding fast and wrecking the place. And we used a light system, you know, like the lights to communicate, light travels faster than sound, and.
It's role models.
I actually
like
stumbled.
But the other mistake they make
the tram,
is when they go to talk to girls
girders
about being an engineer, they'll stand there and go, oh,
well,
did you know
space.
It was a woman that did the London
So we've got 140 horsepower motor
think, well,
driving that way
able to do that.
And me trying to fight against
so
it
I
that way.
So I think we
way,
set
so
kids up
one
to
winner.
Feel.
And what it actually did was...
What we need to do
you know,
is get
people have told me this because I didn't realise I was
out
straight away.
It's actually not
got
that
as fast underneath
you're not
the,
doing maths
the conveyor.
It's software now that does it for
turned
you.
Me wrong.
You just input
and
figures.
I actually broke
and it's
my back.
Know,
my,
yes, to be
C5,
an engineer
top.
That's going
to
invent
L1,
L2,
L3,
R&D
which is
going to be hard. But there
but
are
the worst
many job
was the
titles
fact
that
have
the word engineer in.
Was across here.
It's
what they call a pubis synthesis, where the front and the back.
And you can be taught
snap.
Anything.
Normally,
know? So
the,
I think
the snap. I'll just
I
use.
I think we need to explain
better. Normally, just snap a little bit, which
is
a,
I think we need
a very, very
a subject
painful
in
thing.
School,
but in my case, what had happened is it broke at the front, broke at the back, and ended
like
up here.
Me need to keep on going
and that's because of the nature of the 150 horsepower motor.
And
so, after the
other
came.
But
two hours
the way
later,
I do
I
it is to use
hairdressing
as an example.
Luckily
when I
for
to
me,
talk to girls,
was shipped out
to
the local hospital about 2 minutes away from the pit.
Because if I was to go into a school and say, right, this is a power
the
station,
normal
and this is
consultant,
the
orthopaedic surgeon, Mrs. Karat, was
so
out
I,
in India.
I go through hairdressing
road.
And explain
and
how
fortunately for me, there was a guy from Birmingham called Mr.
And
Khan,
shape hair
spoke
using
English
heat,
like a Cambridge
and
Don,
ceramic in
you know,
hair
straighteners
to do that. And then I liken that to the principles of engineering.
I think that man saved my life. He actually saved
so
my life.
I liken a hairdryer to kinetic
I spent quite a number of months in hospital and recuperating.
And the ceramic and the hair strainers.
Fortunately, I've got two sisters who were nurses.
Chamber,
my mother was
a gas
district nursing sister.
Tiles
so I came home, I was well
looked
after
the
drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make a full recovery, but
and
I made a recovery
it,
strong enough
right.
to come
so
back.
Everything
like I say, that's
doing
when
you style your hair.
I didn't want to go back on the ground straight away and I took the job as materials controller.
Therefore, I'm arguing you're already engineering.
Although that involved going on the ground,
it hasn't got the title
of engineer
on it, it's got
physical work, which we would have had been used to.
So to me, a hairdresser
is a minor.
Yeah,
because obviously you've got to do your face training.
But if you like, if
like
you
that.
Use
so
a thing like hairdressing,
Harrington Coley to do face training.
It's like a
to
moment
back
of clarity,
the
light bulb.
You know,
but the basic fact.
And that was one thing about the
NCB. 400 applications for
an
apprenticeship program last year,
and improving you as a person.
Girls.
So
and yet
courses were always available at different levels for everybody. You know, everybody was encompassed.
In,
it was a great ethos, I think, the NCB.
Industry in the region,
very
in
good.
The northeast, mm-hmm. like Newcastle.
So you could even start off in very, very humble circumstances.
What were some of the big changes?
And by training and by education.
In the northeast?
The
well, I mean, when I was a child,
and of course,
it was all shipyards and
talk about your morals, working with people.
In this place, we employed 12,000
people. Thrown upon,
yeah,
but I learned so much.
12,000
people in the coal mine in the industry.
I mean, that is
you know,
just enormous. I think
so clever
20,
in very, very many ways.
So,
from an engineering point of view,
powerhouse,
how to get
it's all
things done.
We don't
safely,
make anything anymore.
But correctly.
In a nutshell,
and,
there's bits
and
pieces, there's
and making money at the same
oil
time.
Oil and
so.
Gas industry.
Tremendous.
I think the saddest thing for me is the fact that all the British
which was my responsibility for a number of years, working with Stuart Porthouse. You know Stuart from the Mines? Stuart was the unit mechanical engineer.
Strikes me.
And him and I worked out
social impact,
how to get massive machinery, which was getting bigger and bigger as the coal mines became more productive.
Clubs have gone.
Actually, down the mine,
social clubs have gone.
And in Bine, it's only 5 or 6 miles out in the North Sea.
We all sit in our little breeze pump houses now.
Done safely, but in the correct manner. But we needed to optimise the time for resources as well. We came up with a fantastic, you should talk to Stuart about it. He's talking about it all day. But the system were hard for lifting,
based on your
like a coal shearer machine, like 40-foot long, double-end range drum shearer, totally whole, down the mine, transported in.
I don't think we make anything anymore, but I think our universities and
I mean, was that?
You know, I think we still
health
have
and safety down the mines. Obviously, the incident there, the injury in 1986 was those types of events, those kind of
service,
you know, dangerous events. By that time, was that still something that was relatively frequent, or was it becoming less and less so?
And that kind of thing. I think
it became less and less so. And I think but unfortunately, the nature of mining,
we just don't seem to be very good at keeping manufacturing going. But I think.
So there was always
all the time because I run the customer
some minor injuries, as we would call them, and obviously the reporting of those changed with the health and safety work.
You sent some British engineers
that kind of thing
to go and
the mines and quarries act changed as well, but the
you know, the outskirts of Jericho,
there was still
some
fatalities,
far-flung place where nobody
Annum,
else
not in every quarry, but
heard of
Per Annum, the Cold War did suffer fatalities and some major injuries as well. That's one of the things I was proud of at
the
Yarmouth Quarry.
But selling expertise.
I think that's one of the reasons I was sent there. I'd had a severe accident myself.
I
know how
good at that.
Quickly it can happen.
But I just don't think...
So I had an appreciation of that side of it.
Factories to make,
but also a bit of a... I still am as well. A bit of a disciplinarian. Hopefully in a nice manner, not in a stringent manner. We Yarmouth Quarry had an absolutely appalling safety record. Three guys had been killed in a locomotive accident. I don't know if you know about that accident. And it was not long before I went to that colliery. One guy suffered, he's a quadriplegic to this day. And it was basically really, really appalling management. It started at the manager and worked its way down instead of, you know, it didn't work that way. Appalling.
Our Voices is funded by the National Lottery Heritage Fund in association with The Common Room and Dr. Andy Clark. To find out more about the work of The Common Room, please visit www.thecommonroom.org.uk or email programme@thecommonroom.org.uk.